You're listening to the Teach Better Talk podcast, featuring expert educators eager to share progressive tactics to reach more students. Teach Better Talk is created by teachers and fueled by passion. Let's get started.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 53 of Teach Better Talk. I am Ray Hewart, and as always, I am with the enthusiastic Jeff Gargas.
I like that enthusiastic. That makes me want to be enthusiastic. Like, I need to get like super excited over here.
You're so enthusiastic,
Jeff. You can't see me, but I'm like throwing my fist around and I'm like bouncing around, and it's crazy over here. I'm excited.
See, it's weird because I can see it in my head, but we're not actually together on camera.
It probably looks funnier than it even does in your head, so.
Yeah, I'm picturing a very cool outfit while you're fist bumping in the air. So you are very enthusiastic. So I am very excited for this episode. But before we dive into any of that fun, I do want to touch on the conference that we're having on November
8th. Yeah, let's do that.
Do you mind if I do that?
Yeah, let's talk about the conference for a second.
So when we talked about the conference earlier, we released all the information. One of the biggest pieces I wanted to continue to emphasize was that we're accepting proposals for teachers, educators to come and present at the conference. But I think it would be kind of interesting, Jeff, if you're okay with cheating the system a bit. I'd love to talk about what we're looking for in proposals. That way, if people are, you know, our podcast listeners,
yes,
we're gonna have an in with what we'll be talking
Ray,
about.
Ray, I am super enthusiastic about this idea. Let's do it. Am I coming across enthusiastic?
You are so enthusiastic.
No, seriously, let's talk about that. So let me flip it to you real quick. So you brought that up, and I have a question. I hope you don't mind me taking over real quick. But so let's say I'm a teacher, and I'm considering submitting a proposal because maybe I'm listening to podcasts now. I'm like, oh, like that's an opportunity. I have two questions for you. One, do I need to have had presented other times? Do I need to be like a big name? Do I need to have a lot of experience under my belt presenting? That's question one. Question two is, what does make a good proposal? Like, what, you know, what's Teach Better Conference looking for?
Okay, first off, no. If you've never presented before, you're the perfect person to come. Or if you've presented 1,000 times, I hope you still submit a proposal. Because, hey, you got to start somewhere, right? Mm-hmm. That's the whole idea. And I think it's comical when teachers are like, oh, I can't present. I'm like, girlfriend, you do it every day with your kiddos. Mm-hmm. So it's the same concept. Like, the way you would design a lesson plan is the same way we should be doing presentations. I mean, think about it. We talk about to teachers about mastery learning, personalized learning, having flexible seating. We talk about all these things that these teachers are bringing new initiatives to their classrooms to reach their students. And yet, Jeff, have you noticed you go to conferences and it's like a sit and get mentality? Like,
yeah.
Let's think about that. We should be modeling what we want to see. And so when you're thinking about a proposal, if you're concerned, oh, I've never written up a session before, guess what? You've done it a million times in your classroom. So write it up the exact same way, don't you think?
Yeah, I agree. I think thinking about that, like, you know, what kind of things are we trying to do and what are we trying to incorporate in our classrooms? And that's the type of style, like Ray said. And then, like you said, and I think so when you're thinking through that session, yeah, think about, like, all right, how's this going to be interactive? How are the other educators, my peers that are sitting with me in this, this session, like, how am I going to make sure they really get something out of this? And how are they going to be interactive? How are we going to build this connection and grow together rather than just me standing here and sharing some slides and talking to them? You know, when I present, I always like start with like, hey, I have some slides, but they're literally just here because there's a screen. Like, I really just want to have a conversation. I want to talk. I want to go through things. So yeah, I think really thinking through that is a big piece of it. And I love, you know, obviously I knew the answer that you didn't need to have present before. And I love how you answered it, Ray. And I think the biggest thing is, like, we're not looking for only those people that are out there that the names you've heard of and stuff. We're looking for the real classroom teachers, that are listening, that are doing these things in your classroom every day and want to share some awesomeness that's going on and that things that you're seeing that's working. Because we want people to come to this conference, to be able to walk away with actionable ideas that they can take back and put into place right away. And you have those in your classroom, so we want to hear them.
So So just like a lesson plan. I mean, we're going to offer sessions throughout this conference. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but whatever. It's the podcast. We cheat all the time on the podcast. We're going to offer everywhere from like 15-minute sessions mm-hmm. to 3-hour sessions.
Yeah.
So if you're a presenter thinking, okay, I have an idea that I want to share, but I don't want to lesson plan, quote unquote, an entire hour, then think about what idea would you could add value for in a short amount of time. And, you know, maybe that's the proposal you submit. Or maybe you're thinking about, gosh, I've completely transformed my instruction. I really would feel strange talking on this topic for only 45 minutes. Well, maybe you consider doing a workshop, like a deep dive, having teachers actually build something with you. And so however you're thinking about that presentation, just know that variety has value, and however you feel comfortable doing it is probably the teach better way.
Yeah, I love it. Great. That's perfect. We're going to wrap it up that way. If you do want to submit, and we hope you will put in a proposal, it's over at teachbetterconference.com. Right when you get there, there's a button right up front that says submit a proposal there. So be sure to do that. And whether you put in a proposal or not, we really hope you'll come out to the conference and hang out with us for a couple of days and learn and grow and network and build relationships with all of us. You can do that right there too. And later on this episode, we're actually going to drop you a coupon, a special discount code exclusive to the Teach Better Talk that you can use to save $50 off that registration. So make sure you listen through for that. So Ray, we're on episode 53 here. And
we
this
was a very, very, very special guest.
Yeah, this was a really cool one because this is your principal, the principal at your middle school, Evans Junior High, which is really, really cool. Was a lot of fun to get into. Well, first off, he was just a lot of fun. Chris is just a good time in general. We laughed quite a bit. But the other thing is there was so much value put in here. So in this episode, we chatted with Chris McGraw, and he's a middle school principal. He's a former art teacher, cross-country coach, a lot of things in his background. And I think the thing that I took away biggest, and listeners are going to hear this, and he gets so deep into it. I love it. But Chris really has a servant leader mindset and the way he looks at things and the culture that he builds in your school. And it really is amazing. When you hear him talking, like, it's not just a phrase he uses. It's not just a keyword or whatever, a hot button that he uses. It's just the way he thinks. Like, everything he said kept coming back to that and back to that and back to that. And it was just, I think, a golden episode. I really, it was awesome chatting with him. So.
Well, and I have to say, for all those listeners here, this is a very, very special episode with one of my most favorite mentors. If there's somebody I've been able to learn from the most over the past few years, this guy would be in my top three. So I hope you enjoy.
All right. So we are here and we are talking with Chris McGraw, who is a middle school principal and just happens to be the principal at Ray's school. So this is a kind of a fun one to get into here. And Chris, before we get started, I just want to say, and I'm not trying to like make you blush or make anything feel weird, but like truthfully, before we joke around a lot, because I know we're gonna have a good time because we've already been having a good time. Ray truly talks a lot about working with you and for you, and what an amazing leader you are, and how much she respects you and looks up to you and loves working with you. So I'm super excited about this episode. We've had a conversation a long time ago, which I really enjoyed. And again, we hear good things from Ray all the time. So I'm excited to dive into sort of, you know, your viewpoint on things from the administrative role and your experience in education so far. But first, before we do any of that, I just want to say thank you for taking some time out of your day and chatting with us and sharing your thoughts with us, man. How are you feeling right now?
I'm good, man. No, I appreciate it. You know, I'm glad Ray feels like she can look up to me. I'm at least probably 7 inches taller than her, so I appreciate that. And the other thing too is, you know, she tells me that I'm the best principal she has right now, and that means a lot to me, you know, being the only principal that she has. But no, I'm very fortunate to be surrounded by some awesome people, and I would say that even if I wasn't fortunate enough to be invited to do this by her. My favorite thing, and I know we'll probably get into it later, are the people I get to spend my time with every day, beyond just the 800 crazy ones. And so I really appreciate her being one of the crazy ones that I get to kind of be around as well. And I'm excited by this opportunity, man. I mean, what else would I want to be doing right now other than talking in a microphone
certainly
in a room by
not
myself?
Doing evaluations, you know? Right? I mean,
okay. Yeah. We don't need to bring that up because I've been doing too many of those lately. But yeah, no, this is awesome. Great. Thanks. Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Well, Chris, I might talk highly about you, but I promise to not talk too highly about you on this podcast because there will just be too many jokes thrown. But I do want to talk about you for a minute because Jeff has so much to say and said so such a great introduction for you earlier in our podcast. But there's no way that you're able to take all those pieces and just say all of them when somebody asks what you do for a living. So would you mind telling us when you bump into somebody at the grocery store or you're out with your family, how do you describe what you do?
Yeah, no problem. So usually it's pretty sweet. Like I say, you know, oh, I work at a school, and they might ask what school, and they say, what do you do? And I say, well, I'm a principal. And usually that's when I get the first like kind of sympathetic, like, oh, you know, like they feel bad for me. And then I say I'm a principal of middle school kids. And at that point, usually they want to give me a hug or something, but I'm not a hugger. So that's all right. But it's a good conversation starter. But truly, like, I guess the best way I would describe what I do is at my best, which, you know, I don't want to give a percentage on when I'm at my best, but I spend my days like just kind of giving of myself to others. I feel like that's kind of at the heart of why I got into education, is just literally just to spend my days, you know, doing what I can to give of myself, whether it's for my students, which is why I first started doing it, right, as a teacher. But then kind of for me, moving beyond that scope into administration now, I can kind of give of myself to a much larger audience, which can definitely be taxing, but just, you know, trying my best to serve the students and my staff and the families around our junior high. And honestly, like it sounds, I guess, I don't know, maybe poetic, but like that's truly how I would describe what I do, is like just literally I just try to do my best of giving of myself to others, to kind of just serve others. And that idea of kind of that servant leadership, that's the way you're going to help kind of get people to either follow a vision that hopefully you all share, or just to kind of move people in a certain direction. So that's how I would describe it. And then if they kind of at that point at the grocery store, they're like, wow, I just really was making conversation with you. I would say, hey, look, I teach, or I'm around 800 junior high kids. And at that point, we just kind of shake hands and walk away.
Yeah, that we were actually just making conversation, Chris. We actually didn't want you to. No, seriously. No.
Was that a question? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I was supposed to answer.
So this is why I was serious at the beginning, because I knew we weren't going to be. No. So on a serious note, though, like the whole time we were talking, I'm sitting here just going servant leadership. And then you said it. So I was glad you got there, because I love it. I think it's such a important piece. So I tell the story a lot. I think it's been a while since I've said it on a podcast, so I'm probably okay right now. But I have a mentor from when I was younger who I still reference all the time. And one thing he used to tell us is that if you keep your focus on other people, one day you'll turn around and see a big pile of cash behind you. Now, at the time I was in sales, so he was actually like trying to motivate us via money. But later on, right, I realized, knowing him and his background and his beliefs of what he was actually talking about, was that pile of cash, quote unquote, you know, can be so many more things. That doesn't necessarily, right, it's not necessarily cash. It's success. It's happiness. It's helping people. It's feeling a purpose in your life. And if you focus on people all the time. And so the whole time you were saying that, that's what I kept thinking of. Man, this guy's just, everything you said was looking to other people, doing what you can do to be good for other people and to give yourself to other people. And I love that. That's just awesome.
Yeah, so, I mean, and it is awesome. The issue, of course, is like it takes its toll, right? And
sure.
And that's the flip side of it. Like it's one thing, like, yes, I truly do believe that, but that also is going to call me out. And Ray, as someone who sees me daily, or sees me, knows that like that is asking a lot, right? And you can't give, you know, something from if you're an empty vessel. So you got to kind of make sure you're filling yourself up as well. Mm-hmm. If you're just going to turn around and give what you have to others. And so there's a lot of learning I've done along the way with like, how do you handle that? But also, I'm also a big fan of like integrity and like being genuine. And if people genuinely know, like, look, I really truly want to try to do my best to serve you guys, they also understand on those days that I fail at that, or, mm-hmm. you know, I'm a grumpy pants or something. Like, it's like, hey, we'll give them a pass on that one because, you know, well, hopefully they do. I don't know. When this mic goes off, Ray can tell you what really, they think, but you know, it's a great idea, but it definitely, there's a lot more pieces to it as well, because it's definitely the more emotionally, physically draining side of leadership, as opposed to just, you know what, I'm going to look out for me, which is, I think, the opposite end of that kind of leadership, mm-hmm. Where I'm going to do what's good for me. So that way I don't have bad days. Yeah, man, it's just something that I think is what's needed out there. And I think in our profession, it's just what we should all be modeling, from the teacher to the administrator to anyone that's around the kids. Like, this is how you should be trying to live your life, interacting with other human beings. And I don't know, it's just kind of the belief I have.
I love it, man. I'm right there with you. I love that you shared that with us. So you touched on a lot of learning, and you touched on maybe mm-hmm. when you fail and stuff like that. So let's actually go there. Let's talk about some failure for a minute, and how you overcome sure. that. So can you take us to the time that you've had a failure, and tell us what happened, how you overcame that failure, and then what'd you take away from that?
Sure, man. Like, for me, I feel like I've been pretty fortunate to where, I kind of look at it as I've been able to take a lot of chances, or to take a lot of risks. And I know failure kind of comes from that, but I kind of like to focus on the aspect that, like, I've just been blessed to have supports in my life. And usually it's been just some really great people, from, you know, my wife to my family to maybe coworkers, that have allowed me the latitude to take chances and take risks. And so for me, probably the biggest, I don't know if it was fail, but probably the biggest chance that I took that was really tough was going into administration, leaving the classroom. Because that also meant for me, I was leaving my school. So I was at my school for 8 years. At that point, you know, within 8 years, you kind of are able to build your reputation. And I coached different sports. I was in charge of student council. I was on the PBIS team and the core team. And I had a really great working relationship with the administration there. And so, you know, like, you know, the families knew me, the staff knew me, the kids all knew me, their siblings knew me. And now I was going to leave all that, which I loved. I mean, I wasn't burnt out. That's not why I was getting out of the classroom. But I really wanted to try to have an effect on more people. I wanted to try to see if I could, you know, make my reach greater. So that involved getting away from the classroom, but also going to a totally different school that I didn't know anything about. I knew some staff members there. It was within the same district. But also, being an art teacher, I didn't have a whole lot of negative interactions with parents. And that's just because of the way it is, I guess, in some regards, in our district or whatnot. I also coach, like, cross country. So, like, there's not a lot of cuts or things. So, like, I didn't have a lot of combative, contentious relationships with adults. So I was heading into that atmosphere as well, where I was leaving, you know, where, hey, you're Mr. McGraw, you know, you're the art teacher and you make funny videos and you are doing goofy things in the hallway as a teacher. Like, to now this world where, like, I was going to have to discipline kids and I was going to be in charge of athletics and I was going to have to kind of be the bad guy. And I knew that that was not, at the time, a strength of mine, probably. But I knew what I wanted to do and I knew why I wanted to do it. And so, nonetheless, I would say by September that first year in administration, like, there was definitely a feeling of, oh, what have I done? And then, like, as the winter went on, there was a little more dread. My confidence was shaken a lot. It was very humbling. I found myself constantly questioning, like, if the staff felt that I was supporting them, because that's a big role when you're in disciplinarian, whatever you want to call it. But, you know, when you were taking care of referrals and that, you know, were the staff happy with what I was doing? Did they feel like I was communicating enough? And so on top of just, like, having to make terrible phone calls to parents, right, about, like, discipline and maybe getting heat from parents about athletics or whatever, I was also putting this pressure on, like, what do the other adults think of me that are, like, on my quote unquote team? You know, am I doing enough for them? And it was such an abrupt 180 from where I was a year earlier you know, in a super comfortable environment, where, you know, I just felt like overwhelmingly like loved and happy, that I wouldn't say it was a failure, but it was definitely jumping into the wilderness. It was kind of going into the unknown, and just kind of testing my resolve and testing me and forcing me to like learn new skills. And, in some ways that's super exciting and that like can get your adrenaline going. But there's also like, by the time February rolled around that first year, that, it was just taking a very emotional, physical toll on me. And it was kind of like, I can't, like, I'm not going to give up on this. Like, I know this is what I want to do. I feel very strongly that I have skills and a vision of what I want this to look like, and what this role could be and why I should be doing this, that I gotta make this work and I gotta figure this out. And I also have to accept that there's going to be tough times with it and not just like suddenly back away, you know? So there was a lot of like, I got to have some grit here and some perseverance. And in the end, I felt like, you know, I made it through with some bumps and bruises, but I learned a ton, right? Like, okay, I got to make sure I call a parent after this. You know, it only takes one or two times for parents to like teach you quickly, like, ooh, okay, I'm not going to make that mistake again, or I'm not going to say that. It only takes one or two little, comments from a staff member to let you know, like, okay, I got to check myself here. I got to make sure I'm watching my facial expressions there. But in the end, it's like, you know, I mean, it's the same thing. Like I try to tell, like I would tell my students, like, you never know, you know, like what you are capable of unless you kind of like, kind of push yourself a little bit and kind of grind a little bit. You're not going to truly see what you're made of. And if you truly believe that you have this potential, like you got to stick it out. And so that first year, and I'm not saying every year since then has been amazing, because every year, just like a teacher, every year has its own challenges. But man, that was a formative year by far, where I just really learned a lot about the power of, you know, the people you surround yourself with, and just kind of that idea of being fearless.
Yeah, that I love. I appreciate you deep diving so deep into that story and sharing that with you. That's a really cool joint. And a lot of just, I mean, I love how you say that you were having these struggles, but you just kept telling yourself, "I got to make this work," because you know that's what you're supposed to be. That you learn and you had to build that grit and that perseverance, and that you learned a ton, obviously. And then I love the final lesson of you never know, you know, what you're capable of until you push yourself. That's such an awesome, awesome, awesome lesson to take in so many things, just in life in general. So now let's flip it now, Chris. Let's talk about a success that you've had. And this could be something big or something small, but tell us what happened. Why was it a success for you? And then what'd you take away from that?
I think a success for me was just, and it kind of rides on the back of that risk, was like, you know, when I was very fortunate when I got to Evans, that it was still relatively new. I think it was only 3 years old at that time. And Ray, you can obviously jump in and correct me if I say something wrong, but like,
gosh, I have no idea. I just know that we did the same year. I don't even know.
Okay.
Early though. You're right.
Yeah. So there wasn't a whole lot. I mean, it was Evans Junior High School and that was kind of it. And one thing that I do was build this idea of community. And, you know, we got a university here in town, and you see these signs that say Redbird Country. And I kind of like that idea, you know, and that's a big thing for me. And I don't know if it's like the creative side, but I like to really like look outside of education and get like fired up and inspired about things. And I kind of was like, man, you know, we're out, the building is literally like out in the middle of nowhere, you know, so we are kind of this, our own little island, which I actually love. And so I was like, man, and so I kind of just started thinking about these things, and I came up with this idea of like Eagle Nation. And it's like, man, I want to make this a real thing. I want to make this a thing that like kids, it's like, an identifier to them. Like, you know, you're a part of Eagle Nation, you're a part of something, like it's us out here, and like, we're going to band together and we're going to be there for each other. So anyways, I kind of just started, you know, throwing that on some posters or throwing it on, you know, some signs. I jumped on to saying, you know, to the principal at the time, like, you know, let's kind of get some presence here. And so I started a Facebook page for the school. And I just started hitting that hashtag Eagle Nation on every post. And I tried to just be like extremely consistent with like getting a post out there every day and like trying to really like tell the teachers, you got something awesome going on, because they do. And they always do. It's like, either share something with me, let me get in there. Like, let's push this out. And, you know, it started slow, you know what I mean? And, but I just wanted to be persistent in it. And now it's crazy. It's like, man, this is my fifth year here. And obviously like Eagle Nation's everywhere, but that's because I've been there for 5 years. So I'm just like, you know, oh, let's make a poster or something. But like, it's becoming a real thing. And, you know, I'll let Ray speak to it from the teacher side. Like, I really feel, if not just the students, but I feel like the parents are really buying into it. Like, when I start hearing other people say it, at first it was like, are they mocking me? You know what I mean? Like, but now it's like, no, man, I think they're really saying it. And I hear other principals say it or other teachers say it. It's like, man, that is sweet. Like, that makes me really happy. Because I feel like it just is something exciting for them. So, I don't know, Ray, if you have a different viewpoint of it or kind of what it looks like from your side.
No, I think you hit the nail on the head. I was actually just about to jump in and say, I working at Evans was the dream job for me. It was always the job. I student taught in that building, and it was the job that I always wanted and wasn't sure how I was going to get back in that building after leaving for my time actually getting my own classroom. And one element I've always enjoyed while having you as a principal was your focus on culture. And I tell this to people constantly, that no matter where I'm traveling, I go to schools all the time, go to conferences all the time, you have different types of administrators. And something I have so appreciated and valued is your consistent focus on culture. And it's not just student culture, it's the teacher culture, it's the building culture. You know, I bring people to my classroom all the time. I just had a few of our teacher friends visit a few weeks ago. And when you walk into Evans, I mean, you feel it. It's this, you know, positive from the moment you walk in to the people that greet you at the door to then every staff member and the students. I mean, it's just fun. Jeff, you've been in the building.
Mm-hmm. It is. And it's exactly that. The culture.
It's amazing
awesome.
To me that, you know, we just had data day today, which not to like, you know, that's a very data strategic serious day. And data is important too, Chris. You've constantly put focus on academics being, you know, at the core of what we're working towards. But as an educator, I think I so appreciate being able to work in a building that cares about people. And I don't know that we find that very frequently in administration. And that's a huge reason why I pulled you to be on this podcast. Is we need, you know, administrators that feel that. And it really just gets me excited about education, because every time I meet a new principal, I'm the lame teacher that's like, hey, so you got to meet my principal. He's so cool. So lame.
It's true. Like, I am super cool. Wait, what?
Hey, what's up? It's Jeff. We're going to get right back to the episode, but how does $50 sound? Head over to teachbetterconference.com, look for the 2-day registration, put in a discount code, podcast talk, and you're going to save yourself $50 off registration. We're going to see you on November 8th and 9th at the Teach Better Conference. And right now, let's get back to the episode.
Well, I want to kind of flip that. Obviously, I shared my excitement, and I could talk for hours on this, but aside from you being relatively tolerable, can you please tell me what's getting you excited about education right now?
Yeah, definitely. So I will say, probably for me, the big thing that I appreciate or that I am excited about with education is, I think it's that breaking down the wall thing. It's a lot of the social media. It's a lot of the use of technology. That was one thing that, so I taught art, but I also taught digital media at the time. And one thing that we saw, like my colleagues and I in digital media, was just how phenomenal it was that it's like you literally could wake up, you know, the next morning and read an article about this new app or something that was being created. And you're like, oh my goodness, I can't wait to tell the kids about this, or I'm going to use this today. I feel like just the way technology can kind of break down some of those barriers that we've had in the past. So I can't say necessarily it's one total thing, although I will say for me, the use of social media in education is awesome. I'm going to say from my level, from being an administrator, the way that, like, I'll be honest, at the secondary level, especially middle school, like, you don't get a lot of parent involvement. Just, it's just the weird, like, way that, like, K through 12 is, like, K through 5, there's, like, tons of opportunities for them to get in classrooms and they want to. And then at the high school level, whether it's athletics or getting ready for colleges or whatever, somehow they get back really invested. And in middle school parents, it's like they kind of just need, like, a brain break or something, and we're their brain break for those 3 years. But also it's just kind of funky because the way we're set up. And I feel like this, what I've been able to see social media do is open up our doors and, like, bring down the walls to our building in a super, like, unchallenging way. Like, it's like totally laid back. It's like, hey, mom, dad, you're probably going to be on your phone anyways, checking Facebook. So, hey, why don't you just check out what your kids are doing at school today? And I might not mean their child, but, like, students in your child's school, you know, and teams and teachers that are using, you know, Instagram or different, you know, Twitter to kind of reach out, I think is really awesome as well. What I think is powerful is if a school can then branch out and grab all of those and house them and make sure that we're all kind of linked together, so it doesn't get too overwhelming for the parent on that end as well, right? But I know for me personally, seeing, like, when we opened up our Twitter account this school year, the way that that has engaged the student body, way different than Facebook or Twitter. Yeah. And I love the fact that now I have at my disposal very distinct audiences. Now, obviously, I'm going to just, you know, hit all of them for some messages. I love the fact that I've gotten 5 years into it now where it's like, hey, I mean, you almost want to say to people, like, hey, you got to be connected to all of our accounts, because we're putting something on Instagram that's not going to show up on Facebook. And if you don't want to miss out that little video, then, you know, and it's so cool. Like, it's, and it's a way to see the kids buy into their school in a totally different way, because in some ways, like, I mean, obviously we know the dangers of, you know, social media. It's a really safe way for kids to buy into school because it's on their turf and it's on their means. Like, so I have kids that are liking things and watching things on our Instagram account that maybe, honestly, wouldn't show that enthusiasm in our building for what, you know, we're doing in our school. And I think that's really neat, you know, and I think that's a cool way to engage the students at a big building level, but, man, obviously through the teacher level as well. So that's probably what's got me excited.
Well, I am a little nervous for you because coming up, Jeff has these, like, quick questions that you have to answer super fast. But Okay. Before we get into that scary section of our podcast, I am excited to ask you about advice. You know, Chris, I ask you advice all the time. You're kind of my go-to person in my
life.
I am, whether I like to admit it or not, I just always value your advice, and you have continuously been a huge mentor for me. So when it comes to advice for a new teacher or even just a new staff member in your building, what would be your one piece of advice that if a teacher start an education today or, you know, enter a new building, what do they need to know to be successful?
All right. So I would tell them, it sounds like two opposite things, but they're not. Like, number one, like, you got to have your swagger and you got to come out swinging. Like, you can't be, don't be meek. Like, it's all right. Like, you know, show us what you got. But at the same time, the second piece would be, you got to be humble. And I know that sounds contradicting, but it's not. It's like, in all honesty, that's beyond just those first 3 years, but, like, it's okay. Just allow yourself to be humble, so that way you can seek out advice of others. But at the same time, like, have that swagger in that to where you're confident that, like, no, this is a cool lesson. Like, you know, even if no one else is doing something like this, this is kind of cool, but then I'm going to be humble enough and I'm going to get some reflection on it, or I'm going to, you know, take it to a colleague and say, hey, this is what I did. What do you think? Or come check this out. That's what I would tell a new teacher.
Have your swagger, but be humble. Like, I love it. That's awesome, dude.
Well, it's tattooed on my back. That's why. I just, it's like all across my back. So it's cool.
I'm not sure whether I believe you or not, but either way, that's awesome.
Let's turn the camera on here. Yeah.
We may have to deal with share that out on social. We'll do that. all right. So
yeah,
not that we're not having fun already, but let's have some fun. Let's do the next six questions, Chris, and we're going to do 15 seconds or less to answer each. You ready to roll?
I got it. Yeah, I'm ready.
What is one ed tech tool you cannot live without?
Google Sites.
What is a book that you're reading right now?
is it supposed to be education? Because it's not.
No, it's just
Father,
a book.
Father Brown, Mystery Stories. GK Chesterton.
Awesome. And who should we follow on Twitter today?
Oh my gosh, you guys. I'm just going to I'm just going to say just jump into any kind of educational Twitter chat and just jump into the web and go from there.
Awesome. Give us a good YouTube channel or blog or website for educators.
Go to the Bad Lip Reading channel on YouTube. It's hilarious. And you know what? You're an educator. You need to laugh. Take a break from education stuff.
Love it. Give us a daily, weekly, or monthly routine that every teacher should get into.
Find time to turn off your email. Like, seriously, just walk away. It is totally fine if you take a day or a weekend away from education. I'm not trying to, like, be ridiculous. I'm just being honest. Like, it goes back to if you really want to give people what you got, then you have to take a break. So, yeah.
Awesome.
I think I have 2 seconds left.
Finally, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Yesterday's over. Tomorrow hasn't begun. All you have is today. Let's begin.
Mm. Boom.
Wow.
Love it.
That one
That's tattooed on my belly.
Jeez.
Okay. See, I liked the quote up until that point.
Can you make a bumper sticker with that phrase? That's a good one.
With its tattooed on my
belly?
Yeah,
I will.
No, not that.
Seems like a weird bumper sticker to have, but all right. Yeah, let's do
but
that.
I mean, you know what? If you want a bumper sticker of that, I can get you that too, Ray.
No, thank you, actually.
Hashtag, it's tattooed on my belly.
You know what, Chris? I was very excited to have you on this podcast. Thank you for bringing your ridiculousness, because we often get far too serious here with Mr. Jeff Gargis, you know, over there. But
we get too serious on this thing.
Well, I was just trying to make us sound.
Oh,
professional.
Okay. Oh, sorry. Yeah, we typically are very serious, Chris. You were very unprofessional.
You know what? You sound like you're my evaluator now. Yeah. Because
well, that's what I do.
I have, I've heard that a lot.
No.
Is it showing in my Form A? I really am nervous about that.
Yeah, it is.
All right. Well, my final question for you, regardless of how professional this has been with all your tattoos, is how can our listeners connect with you? Like I've said from the very beginning, I continue to learn from you. And I would like for our listeners to enjoy not only the comedy, but the reality of us as educators needing to focus more on our students, more on the culture, and more on people. So what are all the ways that people can stay connected?
All right, people, here's what you're going to do. All right. You can connect with me on my own personal Twitter account at Mr. You guys spell it out. M-I-S-T-E-R McGraw. M-C-G-R-A-W. However, that's sometimes kind of boring. So what I really want you to do is I want you to get hooked up to all the Eagle Nation things, because you're going to see a ton of amazing things. So I'm going to give you all that stuff right now. And so you can find us just on our website's unit5.org/Evans. But the real fun stuff is going to happen on social media. So you can go to our official Facebook page and like us there, facebook.com/EvansJR High. You can then go to us on Twitter and you can follow us at EvansJR High. If you feel like binge watching us, you can go to YouTube and our channel's, Evans Junior High School, very easy to find there. And if you want to get a sneak peek at what the students are seeing, and kind of just quick little shots of what we got going on, you can go to Instagram, find us there. It's at Evans, spell the word junior and then high. So Evans Junior High. But I highly encourage everyone, get hooked into Eagle Nation, because that's where the magic happens, because that's not just me, but that's the real rock stars. That's going to be our students and our teachers doing what they do best. So check us out there.
And, you know, you can find everything we talked about in this episode, including all those links so you can get connected with and hooked up with Eagle Nation over at teachbetter.com in the show notes. So make sure you head over there and get all of that stuff in there. And I will attest to the fact that there is some seriously awesome stuff coming out of Eagle Nation. So it's a lot of fun to follow them and keep up with that. Mm-hmm. So make sure you go do that. Be sure to hit subscribe so you don't miss any upcoming episodes. And if you can give us a rating and review, we'd really appreciate that as well. And then I really need you to do me a favor. I need you to find someone, think of someone, think of 1, 2, 3, or 10 people that you think need to hear awesome stories like everything that Chris shared with us today, and share this podcast with them, because we want to keep sharing these episodes out. We want to keep sharing these stories out. We want to keep helping inspire teachers, and we need your help to do that. So please be sure to do that for us. We appreciate that. Chris, we appreciate you, man. Everything, your stories.
Thank you.
I love your focus on the servant leadership and the culture in your school. I have been in your school. The culture is awesome. You feel it just in the hallways. Man. Even when there's mm-hmm. I said this to Chad, and I'm being serious, and this is not just because you're on a podcast. Last time we were in your school, I said to Chad, there was no one in the hallway, and I said, you could still feel the culture. And I don't know if that sounds weird or how that comes across, but you could still feel it even when you weren't, like, there was no one else in the hall with us. We were just walking around. We got lost. We couldn't find Ray's room. But you could just feel the buzz coming from the rooms. Like, it's just, and then you walk into them, and it's the same thing. We met a couple other educators in there that Ray introduced us to, and it's just, it's awesome. You guys are doing great things. So go check them out. Get connected with Eagle Nation. But thank you so much for sharing with us and hanging out with me. We really, really, truly appreciate you, man.
Of course, I appreciate it. And hey, start thinking about what you want tattooed on your belly, Jeff. Okay,
I'm working on it. I think what I'm going to have tattooed on my belly is, until next time, let's get out there and let's teach better.
That's a lot of words.